Okay, says the Gemara on Daf Beis Beis. Mayir Yitani Shalosh Lisnei Shlosha. Why did it say Shalosh? Remember, one of the peculiarities of Hebrew is that Shalosh without the hay is Lashon, is Shalosh without the hay is Lashon Keva, and Shlosha with the hay is Lashon Zachar, and so too for the other numbers. So, why does it say Ha'isha Niknes B'Shalosh Drachim Lisnei Shlosha? It should have said Shlosha Drachim, and the assumption is that Rashi says ki urcha de gemara, and Tosa says Rishon de kolotar kula b'lashon zachar namra, meaning both in the Torah Shebichsav, as Tosa points out, we use lashon zachar min hastam, unless we're specifically referring to something in the Keva, and likewise Rashi says in lashon chazal in the Mishnayos and Brises they use lashon zachar min hastam. So why all of a sudden here do we use lashon nekeva? So the answer is Mishum the Koboy, the mistake Derech, the Derech Lashon Kevu. Ah, because Shalosh Drachim, Drachim Derech is the Keva. I mean, if it had been so obvious, they would have asked the question, right? The answer is you didn't know Derech is the Keva, but I'll claim at least for I'll have to justify that Derech is the Keva. And Ba is Nekeva, so clearly in that pasuk, Derech is Nekeva. Ah, the Elohad is Hanim Shev Drachim Bokhan says, Misne Shev, Mishav Nekeva, and Misne Derech, Lishne Sheva. If so, if Derech is Nekeva, then it should have said Sheva Drachim Bokhan says, why is it Sheva Drachim Bokhan says, so yes, Mishav Nekeva, and Misne Derech, Ashkan Derech, there's Lashon Zachar. Because once they Derech, we find that Derech is also Lashon Zachar. Right, we just laid that pasuk, I think. So that's that. So each pasuk justifies its mission. Problem is, if so, then the problem is the pasuk's the psukim are stira, and the mishnayos are stira. Okay, Tosus here deals with why that bothers us. I mean, not every steer bothers us, but either doesn't really bother us, but we'd like to answer if we can, Tosa says, or if they're psukim or soser and the mishnayos are soser, then all of a sudden we sense a pattern here and we figure there has to be some reason why the Tanaim followed one pasuk in one context and the other pasuk in the other context. So anyway, we answer, no problem, that derech is can go either way, and it depends on the context. The answer is Kroya de Lokashan Hachad Bitora Koi Bitori Kiloshan Kiva, the Sib Toshan to me, Mashiva's not fish, Kazal of Loshan Kiva, Hassan Mohammed Koi, Dark Shalish Lass Mohammed, Indar Shalish Lass Mohammed, Kasivla Bilashon Zachar. No problem, the Psukkim are based on the context. One Pasuk is about Torah, Odak Lahemet Haderek Yelchuba, the Shuto Shalmekro. What's the Derek Yelchuba that Moshe is telling the Jews? He's telling them the Torah. And the other pasuk is obviously talking about milchama, and the Tosfos points out, even though men learn Torah and men do milchama, but the first pasuk is not talking about the learners. It's talking about the Torah, the derech yilchuba. The second pasuk is not talking about the milchama, but talking about the people, right, who are going in one way or in seven one direction or seven directions. And therefore, even though Torah and milchama are feminine, and the people who learn Torah and the people who do milchama are masculine, but one pasuk is talking about the Torah itself, so it uses feminine. It makes derech feminine, if derech is the Torah itself. The other pasuk, the derech, is the way the people engaged in warfare are walking, or running, and therefore it uses masculine. Agav, I'm not getting into this, I'm just doing a few makoros for certainly not getting into politics here, but the Radvaz and all the Achronim do point out from our Gemara that it says that it's the right? Men engage in warfare, women do not engage in warfare. They point out a few places in Shas, it sounds like men engage in warfare and women don't. Likewise in the Chumash, whenever it takes the Kol Yotz Eitz Avam Yisrael, it only counts the men, not the women. Sounds like the men go to the war and the women don't go to war. And every place in Chumash, they have a war. It always talks about the men going and often specifies that the women don't. Right, they got it, they Ruven. The men went in front of all the Jews to conquer the land to fulfill their Tanai Kafel, and the women, it's clear, stayed in the fortified cities they built while the men folk went out and waged war. So, this definitely fits the derech pattern of what we find in all of Chazal. The stira is from one particular Mishnah in Masechet Sota, which says that when do all the people who planted the vineyards and betrothed the woman, etc., get an exemption? In a Melchemes Rishos, but in a Melchemes Mitzvah, Yotzei Chasan Mechedro V'kal Lo Mechupasa. This is one of the biggest Machlok Zachronim, which is, it was a very nice, cute Machlok Zachronim sitting in a shtetl in Lithuania or Poland and wondering what would be the Melchemes Mitzvah, you know. But in our generation, or in our time generations, it had become a very L'maisa debate. The Minchas Chinuch, I assume he knew everything he was writing was L'maisa, but didn't know exactly when and where. This has become a very, very big machlokas achronin. The Minchas Chinuch in a few places, I only put one of them on the sheet, but he says the same thing about Zechiras HaMalek. I put that on the sheet just because I couldn't resist. It had another chakir in it, right? The Sefer Achinuch says, women are potter from Zechiras HaMalek because they're potter from fighting HaMalek because they don't go to war. The Minchas Chinuch objects for two reasons. He said, first of all, women do go to fight Amalek. Amalek's Mochemes Mitzvah, Yotzi Chasam Mechedro, but Kala Mechubasa, the Kala goes to fight Amalek in Mochemes Mitzvah. And he writes the same thing in the next Mitzvah, by Mochemes Amalek. And he writes the same thing earlier by the law that you shouldn't be afraid during the war. He says, why is the women also? Women go to war if it's Mochemes Mitzvah. So what's nice about this Minchas Chinuch is he objects for two Chakiras. Number one, he says, who says women don't go to war? In Mochemes Mitzvah, women do go to war. Women are in the army in Mochemes Mitzvah. Number two, he says, which is not a topic at all, he says, who says Zechira Samale, Parsha Zachar, is in order to prepare you to go to war? No, maybe even if there's no Marmalekin left, it's just because you have to remember, because it's philosophically important. And therefore, it has nothing to do with being a man or a woman or having to go to war. Everyone has to remember philosophically important things. Okay, this is a very fascinating... it's important halacha l'maisa, by the way. Even forget about politics, forget about Medinat Yisrael. Meaning, this tell that the women have to go to Parshas Zachar. It's been a very l'maisa to Chayla. You know, it might not sound so l'maisa, Dick. Okay, but what if you're home with like three babies and whatever? It's not so. It's a real l'maisa Chayla. Do I have to go to Parshas Zachar, or is it just nice to go to Parshas Zachar?
Only a Dasi Yochid Dayan. The fact that you have to go to Parshas Zachar is only a Dasi Yochid Dayan.
Okay, Seder. Anyway, so it's an interesting halacha l'maisa. Also interesting, current time, this chakir of Minchas Chinuch. The second thing. Chinuch says Parshas Zachar is in order to prepare for war, to get psyched up for war. The Minchas Chinuch says, no, it's to remember hashkafik, I did philosophical ideas. Okay, but relevant for our Gemara is the Minchas Chinuch says, in many places, the Chinuch says, every place Mochemes Mitzvah, women are exempt. And the Minchas Chinuch says, every place Mochemes Mitzvah, women are obligated. The Minchas Chinuch thinks that women are get drafted to the army to fight in Mochemes Mitzvah. Doesn't our Gemara say it's not the derech of women to Mochemes? It's not the derech of women to Mochemes. And Mochemes Rishas is not the normal derech. But for Mochemes Mitzvah, you have to do things even that aren't the usual derech, and you have to go a little further. That's a big chiddush.
What about for the actual concrete heritage through all that
Yoshua? That's the problem is that the biggest Mochemes Mitzvah was actually, meaning, forget about the Derech Moras and Derech, etc. The biggest Mochemes Mitzvah was going conquering Eretz Yisrael from the Sheva Amin, right? That's the original Mochemes Mitzvah. Moshe started, whatever, okay. But, and in the Chumash, it really sounds like going into Eretz Yisrael, only the men were in the army. Gad and Reuven and Chatzim Nasha, only the men were in the army. I'm sure it doesn't say, maybe, I don't know if it says explicitly. It's a great question. I saw that there are rabbis nowadays who want to tie in that girls should go to the army because of this Minchas Chinuch and because of Mishnah Sota. They say, no, the women did go to the army. They just only counted the men. But again, it's a funny thing to do. If the women went to the army, you only count the men. That's the biggest raya. Again, the Minchas Chinuch, but the Minchas Chinuch Taka has a shita that the women have to go and fight in Milchemes Rishos, and it doesn't bother them that it's not the derech of women to do that. It's not the derech of women to fight. Derech of women to fight is under normal circumstances where you're doing regular politics, but for Milchemes Mitzvah, that's an emergency. And even if your derech is not to fight, you have to go anyway. And again, there are rabbis in modern day Medinat Yisrael, a very minority shita. But there are rabbis who pass like Minchas Chinuch, and say that girls should go to the army. They even quote, let me just point out, I don't have this in his own writings, but quoted by very, very chashuv chardal rabbis, more than one, quote that Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook said, and it's printed, Sichos Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook, it's printed by other people, Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook said that theoretically we hold like the Menchus Chinuch and the girls should go to the army, because what we do now is Mechavis Mitzvah, because it's a defensive war. But practically, because the army is not from and there are problems with Tzniyah, so we don't do it practically, but theoretically we would. There are those who paskin, at least theoretically, in Menchus Chinuch, and there are less famous rabbis who even have the opinion practically like the Menchus Chinuch. Although, obviously, it's to Yehuda and his telling him the girls don't go to the army. But theoretically, he agreed.
You know, the other people are still making a jump, because there's not, you still haven't found an Isser. I mean, a Kohen is not Meguyas and can go to the army too.
And a Hanami, and I mean...
I'm not saying the other, but Rabbi Yehuda had an Isser there.
Right, they have found Isser, but I'm just not getting into that now, meaning that you're right, bigot-ish, etc. Anyway, Lemaisa, what are the other options? If you assume... Not like the Menchus Chinuch, that no, women never go to the army. Like the Sefer Chinuch, women are pater from all Mechames Mitzvah. If you assume women are pater from Mechames Mitzvah, and the Rambams, there's Stevers in the Rambam, I'm not getting into that. Now, then what do you do with the Mishnah and Sota? So already the Radvaz on the side of the Rambam there gives two answers. He says either number one, it just says the Chosin goes out from his Cheder and the Kala from Rechopa. The chassan goes out from his cheder to go to war, and the kala goes out from her chuppah because there's no chassan there, so she goes back to her parents' house. What's she going to do staying in the chuppah without a chassan? That's very silly. So it doesn't say they go to war, just that they go out. One here and one to there. That's one pshat, possible. The other pshat, he says, is a orif, is that the man goes to fight, and the woman goes to support the war effort in... You know, whatever, you know, maybe they have a pluga of people who, you know, prepare all kinds of things. His example was cooking the food. And that's also with Rishash and many other achronim. I think definitely the majority shot in the achronim is not like the Menchus Chinuch, as chashuv as the Menchus Chinuch is. Hardly any of the achronim agreed with him. Not that a woman has to go fight. You know, right here, women don't fight. On the other hand, very few achronim agree with the Radvaz that it just means that the kala goes home and the chassan goes to war. It sounds like they both go to war. The majority opinion among the achronim is that they both go out, but the man goes out to fight the war and do the actual mechama, and the woman goes out to support the war effort in I don't know if they called it part of the army then, but wherever you're miguyas to do all of the other things other than the lochamim.
But not in Haredi circles. It's Yehori Valyav or even that.
I'm not talking about practically how that applies to modern society.
Haredi world.
I'm talking about theoretically. Meaning, I'm not talking about what the Haredi world does. I don't want to get in politics. In a secular state. Say, what would the Haredi world do in a Haredi state? So I think the mainstream opinion would be that if there's a war in Melchemes Mitzvah, then the man would have to go to the army, and the women would, I don't know where they would sleep, but the women would have to go to a munitions factory and make bullets, or to wherever it is, and help the war effort. Again, without the practical questions of whether, you know, how many people you need to go versus how many people keep the civilian economy going. But theoretically, again, don't bring me any rayas from what the Haredi Welt holds in a secular state. Rav Tzvi Yehuda was in the Tzioni world. And he also held in the secular state that it's different than the theoretical Menchus Chinuch. I mean, theoretically, if we could, the poskim could make all the rules in accordance with the Torah, what would we do? So there are three opinions. That was a tangent, though, just an interesting and relevant tangent. Continuing in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Masnisa de Lokasha. The Mishnayas are also not difficult. Hacha l'gabi isha koi katani l'walsh in the keva. Hasan l'gabi ish koi the darko shalish libadek. Being darko shalish libadek. The isha nam go onus mitama. Tana l'walsh in zachar. The Mishnayas also no problem. Here it's Aisha nicknames b'sholosh drachim. Since it's Aisha, we went with the feminine. B'sholosh drachim. Over there it's b'shiva drachim bokin sazav. And zav was davka. Davka, darko here means halacha. The halacha is that you check the zav. You do not check the zava. This is what's called by onus. Onus, they don't mean against your free will. Onus, they mean because of an outside factor. There's a fundamental difference between Zav and Zava, and there are many differences between Zav and Zava. One of the differences between a Zav and a Zava is that a man who's a Zav, who has, what makes a man a Zav? He has a discharge, but it is not regular Shefa Zera, it is a more diseased kind of discharge that looks different than regular Shefa Zera. That makes him a Zav. The halacha is, we darshan the psukim, we're bodek him, with seven ways. Only if it was caused purely by an internal disease of his body. If it was caused by external circumstances, like something happened, then he's not tummy. So the Zav is only tummy if it was caused by his internal, some bodily malfunction. Right? That's why we checked that none of the seven things that might be external factors happened, so we checked the Zav. That's called Mamatami bonus. But that's only a Zav. A Zava is a woman who bleeds. And what makes a Zava if she bleeds not during the time of her expected monthly period, but in the middle of the month? So a Zava, Bain Baratzon Bain Bo. We don't mean Baratzon owns free will, not free will. Whether it's because of a hormonal imbalance inside her body, or even if it was caused by something. She ate something that had an effect on her, or she did some gymnastics that had an effect on her, or something else weird happened to her. It doesn't matter. That's a chumra of a Zava over a Zav, that she's a time of onus, and therefore we check the Zav seven ways to see if it was caused by an external factor or by an internal disease. But we don't check a Zava. We don't care what caused it. If there was bleeding, then she is a Zava. And that's why, since Shiva Drachim only applies to men, therefore they used a masculine Lashon of Shiva Drachim. Tani Lashon Zachar. Now they were asked, my time, now they take it one step deeper. My time is Tani Shalosh Shum Drachim. This is all premised on the idea that we're saying Drachim. Drachim could go either way, so depending on the context, we make it masculine or feminine. But why say drachim in the first place? Nisnei dvarim v'nisnei shlosha. Why not just say shlosha dvarim? Dvarim cannot go either way. Davar is only lashon zachar. So why didn't we just say davar and say shlosha? Now, what is this question? As a machlokas rishonim also, Rashi says that why should we have said davar? Rashi says, at least this is what he's, many rishonim, I think this is what he sounds like, that it's Orcha de Gemara, meaning Dvar is a more common Lashon. If you go through Mishnayos, it says Dvarim all the time. It only says Drachim a handful of times. Dvarim is the more normal Lashon of Chazal. So why does it say Dvarim, which is the more normal Lashon? It also says a little, some of the other Mefarshim, the Rashba and others say a little differently. Maybe it's because we wanted to keep Lashon Zachar. So why didn't say Dvarim? Because Stam Torah should be Lashon Zachar. But either way, either it's because Dvarim is better than Drachim, that's more standard, or because Shlosha is better than Shalosh, because Lashon Zachar, we assume by default we would say Shlosha Dvarim. So what makes us change the Lashon to Drachim? So the answer is, Mishim Dekabayim, Misnei Biyo, Biya, Ikri Derech. We use Lashon of Derech because we want to say Biya is one of the three ways, and Biya is called the Derech. Right? As a matter of fact, even Chazal, Derech Eretz sometimes means Bia. Dichsid, how do we know it's called Derech? The Derech Gever Ba'alma came Derech Isha Mena Efes. Right? Talking about the Gever and Ba'alma meaning sexual relations, and clearly Isha Mena Efes is also sexual relations. It's called a Derech. Therefore, since Bia is called a Derech, we use a Lashon Derech. Ha Tenech Bia, Kasim Shtar Me'ikla Me'imar. But why would we use it by Kasim Shtar? The answer is Mishon Bia, because it works for Bia. V'tani Tarte Luchada, why would we use a Lashon for the other two just to the one? Like, two are a majority, one's not a majority. We shouldn't use a Lashon that doesn't apply to Kasim Shtar, just to applies to Bia. So the answer is Hanech Lami, Tzorech Bia Ninhu. Ultimately, even the Kasim Shtar is Tzorech Bia Ninhu, because it's to create a marital relationship, and a marital relationship, regardless of any lungless. We said the other day, every Hakol Yodim Lama Kala Nechneses Luchaba. We all know that when people get married, the point of getting married is v'davar v'ishto v'ayil v'asar echad is for bia. So therefore, it's all about the derech of bia. V'ibayseim, but that's one shot. Here's the second shot. V'ibayseim, amani Rav Shimon, this is Rav Shimon. The tani Rav Shimon omers, Rav Shimon said, ma'amar Torah ki yikach ish isha loks, kasav ki si lokach isha l'ish. Why did the Torah say ki yikach ish isha, not ki lokach isha l'ish? And the answer is, they should darko shal that ish. Now, meaning, why does it say the man does it, not the woman does it? Here, there's a machlokes who showed them how to understand the question. We won't go into the lumdus, although we'll see this again in Daf Dalet and again in Daf Hey. We'll be able to get into it more halachically. What's the question? why did the Torah write ki yikach and not write ki tilakach? Here we have two fundamentally different ways of reading the Gemara. The Tosos Yishonim here, that's a small print in the Tosos, and many other Yishonim says, the question was we know what the halacha is. The halacha is the man gives the woman a ring and says, Hare Mekudeshesli. It's just a question on the formulation of the Chumash. Why did the Chumash say ki yikach for our halachic practice and not express our halachic practice as ki tilakach? And then the Tosos Yishonim asks, and why should it have said ki tilakach? Right? It's only a valid question. Why did the Torah do A and not B? It's only a valid question if B was the better option. So, like, isn't it always better to be straightforward? Right? Good lesson. Better to be straightforward. Ki yikach to take. Why talk about tilakach being taken? Right? So Tosos Yishonim says, what's the havmin to say ki tilakach? Says, because ki yikach might be give you the misimpression that you don't need the woman to agree. That's bal karcha. The Torah should have said kisi lokach to make it clear that the man takes, but the woman agrees to be taken and you need her to agree. So just the halacha would have been clearer if it said kisi lokach, the man takes, but the woman agrees, and the woman agrees. The halacha is less clear if it says ki yikach, the man takes, and it sounds like the woman might not have to agree, although really she does. So why use an unclear lashon when it could have used a clear lashon? Okay, and he's going to answer.
It's probably like on Rashi in the Megillah.
Okay, that's a good point. The Rashba quotes in the Ravid a different shot. Says he's not asking why the Torah formulated our halachic practice one way as opposed to another way. He's asking why the halacha is that the man has to do kiddushin and not that the woman has to do kiddushin. He's asking why we do kiddushin our way and not another way, right? What's the Rashba's lashon? Let me just see if I can find it. He quotes the Ravid here, the Torah, the pasuk, needs to tell us that the man takes and not that the man is taken by the woman. Right? So he's not 100% clear. We'll get back enough Daf and Daf Hey exactly what the Hakmin was. What he's saying is that, according to the Rashba, the question is, why does the man give the ring to the woman? Why doesn't the woman give the ring to the man? Right? Why don't we have a slight... There are people who do this, I think. Why don't we have a different way of doing Kiddushin? And then the answer is, right, what the answer is, says the Gemara, because it's the derech, it's in the fundamental nature of the world. It's not just a halachic construct. It's not just a gzeres akasav. What he's saying is, it's not just a gzeres akasav. It's the Rav used to like the Darshan Bereshis and say it has to do with the existential nature of man, right? That it's the way of the world, naturally, that a man goes and finds the wife, not that the wife goes and finds a husband. Why? Because the woman came from the man, right? Gracious, Perikbeis, right? Hashem took a side or rib or whatever it was from Adam, right? So therefore, Adam is missing, a man is missing his aved of the wife. He has to go find this completion. The wife isn't missing anything. She's not missing anything. Therefore, there's something about the existential nature of humanity that the man needs to find the wife more than the wife needs to find the husband. And even though the Gemara does say in some places, Tavlo makes a ton of names of Armelu, it's beneficial. There's a lot of benefits for a wife to have a husband. Yeah, there's a lot of benefits for a wife to have a husband. It's very kedai for her. But in her existential nature, she is not missing something that she needs to retrieve. And the man is. Therefore, the man goes and mekadesh the woman and not the other way around. Here, so what's this answer? Just to be clear, it says, ki yikach, meaning, according to the Tosos Yishanim's derech, ki yikach and not ki tilakach. Again, ki yikach means man is... The man does the kiddushin as opposed to, and kitilakach means the man does the kiddushin. Kitilakach means the man does the kiddushin and the woman agrees. Kiyikach means the man does the kiddushin and it sounds like she doesn't have to agree, but she really does. Right? And sounds like she doesn't have to agree, but she really does. That is the Tosfos Shanim's way of reading Pshat in this Gemara. So it's obvious, why use a confusing Lashon when you could use a clear Lashon? And the answer is, for a drash. The clear Lashon would have been clear halachically, but the Torah wanted to also teach us this drush idea that ki yikach, the man is the one who's going out and searching. The wife's not seeking to be taken by a husband. The man is seeking to take a wife because of she's his avega.
Wouldn't Tosfos Yishonim agree that actually it sounds like she doesn't have to and she actually doesn't have to? And again, she's like, it's a kind of the rabbanon that it doesn't work?
No, I don't. I think that would be going too far.
But didn't we say it last time that most people agree with that?
No. I thought we had this conversation at the after shiur. You're talking about a case where she does agree, but under duress. We're here talking about a case where she doesn't agree b'chlal.
This is about Korcha, no?
Yeah, that doesn't mean he forced her to say Rotsani. That means stop. Okay. According to the Ravid, though, the Ravid had a different shot. Ki yikach means the man does the kiddushin. Ki tilakach means the woman does the kiddushin. And the question isn't why the Torah formulated one way versus the other way. The question is, why, you know, we have Orthodox Kiddushin and not Reform Kiddushin, as it were, right? Why the man does the Kiddushin and not, why does he give her a ring and not she give him a ring? And then the answer is, it's not a question about Drushin formulation, meaning, what's the answer? The answer is, right, and teaches us a drush. And therefore, it's worth it to be misleading halachically and teach us a drush, because Chazal were smart enough, Hashem relied on them to figure out the halacha.
Really?
According to the Ravid,
how did the Ravid squeeze out of the passive tilakach that she does the kiddushin?
That is a great question. Look, that's really the machlokas. And my Gilgim Ashas says some people have even, although the Rishon denied this girsa, ki yikach ish isha v'lo ki tikach isha ish. But that would fit very well for the Ravid. But that's not the Ravid's Gersa. The Ravid has our Gersa. I haven't even found any Rishonim who explicitly have that other Gersa. The Ravid say, Tilakat means that, I think what he's trying to say is that she still becomes his wife. But she's the one who does, I mean, if you think about it, she wants to become his wife, should he do a Kenyan to make her his wife? No. Maybe she should do a Kenyan to be mocking herself to him. So that's the question. The question, it's clear, and this is the Ritva, if you assume he agrees with the Ravid, makes this clear. The Havmina was never that she should be Kona him. Clearly, he is Kona her. The question is, who does that? Ad Ravid might be very mistaber. If he's Kona her, she should be on the initiative that she's giving herself up. So let her be the one to initiate it. Let her, for example, in a shtar, let her give him a shtar, say, Hari ani shalcha. Right? So, and according to this, what the question is not why the Torah formulates way X as opposed to way Y. The question is why the Torah goes there this type of ceremony instead of the opposite ceremony. And the answer is, and therefore, the answer to the Gemara is that we explain Tamiya mitzvos. What the Gemara is doing is saying, why did the Torah give us mitzvah X and not mitzvah Y? The answer is, we're explaining the Tamei Mitzvos. You know why the Torah said to do the mitzvah this way, not the other way? Because the Torah said the man should do Kiddushin, because he's the one who's missing his Aveda, and the woman's not missing her Aveda. So he's giving Tamei Mitzvos, which is why the Ravid says, according to our Girsa, and the Ravid's Girsa says Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon is the one who's Darsh Tain Dekrat, so it works very nicely, even though sometimes other Tanar also may explain Tamei Dekrat, it works very nicely. Rabbi Shimon is famous for the sheet of darshaning the reason for the mitzvos. Here also he darshens the reason for the mitzvos, and he says, why did the Torah give this mitzvah? For this reason. Okay, so that's two different ways of reading the Gemara. Maybe we'll come back to on Daf Dal, Daf Hey, is there enough Gemini between them? But two totally different ways of understanding how serious a question this was. For the Tosfos Shanim, The question was just, why did the Torah write something in a funny way instead of a clearer way? The answer is for a drasha. For the rabbi, the question is, why did the Torah say the husband gives the ring instead of the wife gives the ring? And the answer is, I'll give you the time of the crawl, why the Tosa said that, why the Torah said this and not that. In any case, going on to the Gemara, the Gemara then asks, and here we get into Zerari, v'hadisnan, or actually, one more line, v'hadisnan, b'shev drach bog nezazav, listening to him. Now we have to justify every use of derech as opposed to davar. So why does it say derech by the zav as opposed to davar? Ha, so ha'kamash lan z'dark l'mich l'yseir l'asui l'deziva, v'dark l'mich l'yseir l'asui l'deziva. Why do you use derech by zav as opposed to davar? The answer is, it's also a hint. Over by Kiddush, it was a hint either to Bia being a derech, or to like the existential nature of mankind, that derech. Over here, the hint is to why we're bodeg dezav. Why are we bodeg dezav with these seven ways? Because it is the derech of excessive eating, which is the first of the seven ways, to lead to ziva. It is the derech of excessive drinking to lead to ziva. It's the derech of another five ways to lead to ziva. And it's just, it used the word derech because it's explaining the principle of what we're doing. Why are we checking this off? We're not checking this off because it's xeris hakasav to check these seven things. It's not halachah moshvi sinai to check these seven things for no reason. We're checking this off because the oraisa is just, we have to check whether it was an internal ailment or caused by external factors. And we looked into the way the world worked and saw that these seven things have a way of leading to ziva, and that's why we check for them. Now the Gemara asks, well, hadasan esrog shavel ilon. Right, these mishnayos to Bikurim, right? It's all the what's equivalent to what in how many ways and something else in how many ways. So it says, esrog shavel ilon gimel drachim. Listening dvarim. Why did it say drachim by esrog? Why not say dvarim? Mishim dvina masni seifa v'liyerek b'derech echad. Ah, the ratio is shlosh drachim be parallel to the seifa of one derech. What are the three drachim, by the way? The three drachim are esrog, shavel, ilon. The three drachim. One derech is orla. It has orla. Well, here it's a bit of machlokas what the first derech is. The Mishnah says it's orla, right? The first derech is either Rashi here says, right, that it has orla urvai no hegbo, right, as opposed to Tosus quotes from. I think Tosus quoted. One second. Okay, Tosus doesn't quote here, but Rashi in Rosh Hashanah. Tosus says in towards the end of Tosus the Rascal Ma. And Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah Yud Dalet Amud Beis. So Rashi says Arla is no higbo. Right, that Arla is no higbo, like a tree as opposed to vegetables which don't have Arla. Tosfos and Rashi in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yirat Dalet Amud Beis says or Holchem Achar Chanata L'Orla. Not just that Orla applies to it, but that how do we know what year this fruit is? Is it from the first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year? The answer is we go by Chanata. When the fruit starts to form, that's called Chanata. If it starts to form in the third year, it's Orla. If it starts to form in the fourth year, it's not Orla.
Rashi seems to say that the reason we have to know is because of Maiser Sheni and Maiser Ani. But we also have to know Rishon Sheni for the same reason I said there, Shana Shana, that you can't be Maiser one year onto another year, even if it's the same Maiser. So that's, I don't know why.
I don't have an answer to that either, unless it's just Lav Dafka Rashi's giving you like a more obvious way, but you know, could it be lead someone? I'm not sure. It's a good question. I don't have a good answer. The second is the same. Inyan Rashi here says, Revai Noegbo, right? The fourth year is Neta Revai, and Tosvos and Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, Yadalam Beis, says that Holchim Achar chanota l'ravai, meaning you want to know, is this a fourth-year fruit and it's kadosh and ravai, or is it a fifth-year fruit and kulin gemurim? The answer is you don't look at when it's finished growing, you don't look at when it mostly grew, you don't look at when it was picked. You look at when it started to form, chanota. If it was chanota in the fourth year, it's ravai. Chanota in the fifth year, it is not ravai. The third, I don't think anyone disagrees with, is shvius. You can't say shvius applies to it like an elon, because shvius applies to anything that grows in the ground. And therefore, Rashi, there's only one shot here, right? Which, or seemingly, holchin achar, well, there's only one shot here, lishvius. Shvius applies to everything that grows in the ground. But how do you know what shvius, what is it? Like, what's sixth-year produce, what's seventh-year produce, what's eighth-year produce? Big nafgumina, right? Bismanazeh, right? Okay, Arlen Ravai also apply Bismanazeh. But okay, you know, the mashgiach can take care of that in the field. We don't, it doesn't really affect our lives much. We just apply proper ashgacha, unless we have our own trees. But shvius, okay, how do you know? Where we have all those calendars. When does the shvius start, etc., etc.? How do they make the calendars, right? So the answer is, by an esrog, at least according to this Hanukkah of the Mishnah, which is Rav Gamliel, it depends on Hanata. If the esrog started growing in the sixth year, it's not shvius. If it started growing in the seventh year, it is shvius. And it's the meiser, right? What's the derech echad of yerek? Which is hochem acher lekita leinyan meiser, right? That a yerek, right? We know the difference between an elon and a yerek is that how do you know what year something is for the purpose of meiser? So the answer is if it's a tree, it depends on when the chanata was, when the fruit started forming. If it started forming in the second year, it's meiser sheni. If it started forming in the third year, it's meiser ani, etc.
Before Kibushma.
Yeah, correct. There's another complicating factor, which is that there's different Rosh Hashanahs for different things, but I'm going to try, which is that for fruits, the Rosh Hashanah is Tu Bishvat, and for vegetables, the Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, which makes it even more complicated. Okay, for grains and olives, it depends when it reached a third of its size. If it reached a third of its size, that's the year it counts as. And for vegetables, it depends when it was picked. Right, whenever you pick it, that's what year it is. And an esrog is like lettuce for maisros, that whenever you pick it, that determines which miser you have to give.
So please, I didn't get straight. What's the difference between Rashi here and Rashi in Rosh Hashanah?
Whether Arla and Ravai just means that it applies, or means it applies and we go by Chanata. That's a subtle difference.
I just don't understand what that means. I don't understand.
When it says it's like Elon for right. Arla, does that mean that it has the mitzvah of Arla? It has an isser of Arla?
Yeah.
Only fruits of Arla, vegetables don't. So it has Arla like a fruit. Or more than that, it has Arla and we determine the 3 years by Chanata, like other trees.
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
Okay. Now the Gemara asks, though, Seifanaminis Nidavra. This is a very strange sounding answer. Why do we say Drachim and Eresha? Because of the Seifa. So let the Seifa also say Dabar. No, Hasam Gamashlam. The Seifa is a good reason. Right? What's the reason? The Seifa, the Darchi, the Esroki Yerek. It's also trying to teach you a remez. It's not just Stam. It's not Halacha Moshvi Sinai. It's not, something that we don't understand why that we treat an Esrog like Yerek for Maestros. The reason we treat an Esrog like Yerek for Maestros is not because of some philosophical halos. It's because of the Derech, the agricultural nature of growing Esrogs. My Yerek, Darko Ligodol, Kol Mayim, Shasla Kitasu, Isuro, okay, they're two slightly different shittos in the Tanaim, and here we pick one, then we'll go with that. Just like a yerek, the Gemara is a drusha in Masechet Rosh Hashanah and other places. That, how do we know that we treat yerekos differently from peros? So originally goren v'yekev, right? Goren v'yekev is grains and grapes, right? Which are, more or less grains and fruits, etc. So, why are the grains and fruits, the year is determined by when they start growing or when they reach the first stage of their growth? But in yerekos, the year is determined by when you pick them. So the answer is, because my yerek, Dr. Gadol, call my injustice, Zuzri Suro, because the drush is this, Gorin v'yekev, they grow on rovmayim, meaning they grow on rainwater. Right? In the rainy season, it rains enough to grow the Goren Vayekev. Right? The fruit trees grow on rainwater. The apples and the pears and certainly the olives and the grapes, mentioned in the Chumash, grow on rainwater. The grains and the legumes grow on rainwater. However, vegetables, what does it say in the Chumash? Asher tizrat zaracha, v'hishkita baraglacha, kigan hayarak. Ah, you have to use your feet, right? You have to carry water for yarakos. That's compared to Gan HaYerek. But the point is, in Eretz Yisrael, only in the Gan HaYerek do you have to water it. Everything else, the rainwater is good enough. So that's what's called kol mayim. You have to keep it. It's not enough to just have the normal world mayim, the main water in the world, which is provided, you know, by, naturally through the rain. No, you have to water it all the time. So, therefore, since you have to water the Yarakos all the time, therefore it is different. The logic here seems to be that the Tzvua and the Peros HaIlon, which it's actually, I haven't tried this experiment with Esrogin, but I accidentally did try this experiment at home. I had an apple tree and the watering system somehow broke, whatever, and I didn't water it like all summer long. And it produced a bumper crop in the fall. Because it got the rainwater in the winter. I'm not saying you should do that with l'chachila, you know, but certainly for the end, but at least it worked. I can bring them in if anyone wants to see. Not about moifus. I know what the Kutzker said about Mofsin. He says, creating a golem, that's not impressive. You show me Rosh Hashiva, who you give him a sheer olive of golems, and he turns them into a mensch. That's impressive. That's the kind of mifus we should aspire to. Now, anyway, the logic seems to be everything else, like, you know, you just sort of water it at the beginning of the growth, and then it has enough power stored within it to continue growing. Okay, so what year is it? The year when it began its growth. That's when it really gets its power that it needs. But the vegetable, you have to keep watering them. They never, like, have enough power to continue growing on their own. You have to keep watering them, okay? So they never have enough power at a certain stage. You have to keep watering them until you're ready to pick them. So therefore, how do you know what year to count them as? Okay, the year you pick them. So the Gemara says, if Esrog goes back with the goal, call my something tells me sewer. Esrog also, you have to keep watering it. Right, esrogim are very different from regular fruit trees, and therefore you go by the shas lakita, you measure it in the year when you pick it. Okay, now Tosfos here gets into, you know, I guess there's not a lot of opportunities in shas to get into Mishnayos and Bikurim. So Tosfos here gets into a few very very fascinating issues. The first issue he deals with is Revai. He asks here a technical question. The technical question is, we know, right, most people when they're younger maybe try to learn Ketzad Mevarchim at some point in the sixth parak of Brachos. Come to a few other places in Shas. Also, there's a machlokes whether we're Tani Neta Revai or Tani Kerem Revai. When the Torah says to have Revai, that the fourth year fruits have to be Kadosh, and it's like Maaser Sheni, you have to bring them to Yerushalayim, we paskin like this. So it's Mamish, all the rules of Maaser Sheni, you have to bring to Yerushalayim and eat them or else redeem them on money, etc. Is that apply to all fruit trees, or only to grapes? Okay, there's some debate among the Gaonim. Only grapes or only vineyard? We're not going to get into that now. So there's one man, the Arutani Karim Revai, all over Shas. Whenever it says Revai, his version of Mishnayos has the word Karim beforehand. The other mandar, no, all over Shas, Tani Neta Revai. They're not arguing Svarim, they're arguing what the Mishnayos say. One guy said a Mishnayos, it was in his head in those days, said Kerem before the word Revai. The other guy said a Mishnayos says Neta before the word Revai. So Tosfos here asks, he says, hold on a second, how can anyone Tani Kerem Revai? It's Mefurshin Bikurim that Revai applies to Esrog, right? So that proves that Revai applies to all fruits, not only to grapes. So that's his kasha. Tosfos' kasha is, it's a mefurish proof that Revai applies to Esrog, so how can you Tani Kerem Revai? So here is Tosfos' question. The question is, you know, if esrog, if revived, applies to esrog, it's a kasha on manda omer kerem revai. So he has two answers. His first answer is that the man da omer kerem revai admits it's a machlokas tanoim. He just says most mishnayos hold kerem revai, but he admits that it's a machlokas tanoim. So one is that man da omer kerem revai admits it's a machlokas tanoim. His second answer is that Mandar Makar Ravai admits that Midrabanan there's Neta Ravai. He only holds that Midoraisa Ravai only applies to a Kerem. But he admits Midrabanan Ravai applies to all Neta, all trees. And this mission is talking about Midrabanan, right? So the second is that Mandar Makar Ravai admits that Ravai applies to all trees. Midrabanan. And our mission is Midrabanan. Tosa says, what's the nafgamina between my two answers? Says tremendous nafgamina. Because we have a principle, if you look at the Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachas that was in brackets, he disagrees with this principle. But we have a principle that seems to be explicit in Shas, that kolamekel baritz halakamosu chutlar. So whenever there's a machlokes tanoim in Eretz Yisrael about Inyan Yisrael, we paskin like the Machmir opinion in Eretz Yisrael, but we paskin like the Mekel opinion right in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, that's very relevant to Kalayim. Why do we vary very little about Kalayim in Chutz La'aretz? Because there's a Mekel opinion that we rely on. We also know there's similar things that in Orla, right? Suffolk Orla and Chutz La'aretz we don't worry about, which is not the same principle, but a similar principle. So says Tosos, what would be the rule in Chutz La'aretz? So in Chutz La'aretz, what would be the rule? According to this first answer, Manda Rekerem Revai admits the Machlokes Tanoim. Fine, so it's a Machlokes Tanoim. But we would be Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel, and there would be no Revai except for grapes. Right? Because it's Machlokes Tanoim. One Manda holds Kerem, one Manda holds Neta. In Chutz La'aretz, we'd be Mekel like the Manda Kerem. And Eretz Yisrael were Machmir Neta. According to the second opinion, no. Lekulei Alma Nohe Revai B'chol Ilanos. The Machlok is just whether it's Doraisa or Rabbanan, but everyone agrees Revai applies to trees. One man says it applies to other trees, Midrabanan, one man Doraisa. In which case, there would be Revai by all trees. So he says that's enough community between his first answer and his second answer. We would pass like the Mekel data. Revai is only Midrabanan. Fine, but it's only Midrabanan by all trees. Big enough gamina. If Tosa is sitting in France and growing apples or oranges or pears or what have you, does Revai apply or does it not? So this depends on those two answers. Halacha lemaisa, there are three opinions in the two mainstream opinions and one less mainstream opinion in the in the poskim about Revai b'chutz la'aretz. Revai b'chutz la'aretz. Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos says he doesn't believe in this rule of halacha k'divrei Mekel. Noeg b'chol ilanos. Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos says, he says, I admit that's not the minhag olam, but theoretically a poskim applies to all trees. And he's not based on Tosa's second answer, which would be nice, but he's not. He's just based on the fact that he doesn't think we should pass on like the Mekel and Chutz La'aretz. She'iltos, quoted by Tosos all over the place. Tosos, the Gaonim, quoted in the Rambam, and others say it's only Noheg Bekerem. Why? Because it applies in Chutz La'aretz. But halachik divrei Mekel, and since the Mekel says Kerem Revai, and we hold the Ikra like Tosa's first answer, that the Mekel of Kerem Revai holds its only Kerem, and it doesn't apply to other trees at all, we pass like in the Chutz La'aretz, and the famous sheet of the Rambam. And there are those who agree with the Rambam also, right? The Ramban also agrees with him, and others, who says it's not Noheg at all.
Who's the Rambam with the second one, right?
Gaonim in the Rambam.
Oh, Gaonim in the Rambam.
Right, Rambam, shame Gaonim, right? That would be clearer, right? So Sorry, I apologize.
No, I was back.
Let's see. Rambam B'Shem Gaonim. Right, who did he mean? Maybe he meant the Sheltos, maybe he meant someone else, who knows?
No.
Right, maybe he meant the Sheltos. Okay, those are the three opinions about Chutz La'aretz. Now here we get into something which is tangential to our sugya, but very fascinating, which is the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. Does Ravai apply in Chutz La'aretz bichlal or not? Does Ravai apply in Chutz La'aretz bichlal or not? Now, think about mitzvot tluyos ba'aretz. Do they apply in Chutz La'aretz or not? In America, right? Many of us lived in America, maybe all of us. Do the mitzvot tluyos ba'aretz apply at all?
No,
this is actually a mishnah later on Masechet. Orla does. Klayim does.
In Chadash, of course.
Chadash, let's say, does, although we're getting into controversies, right? Maybe.
Everybody knows it does. Just because there's no Gizdokis alcohol.
Nope, you say for a Truma. Look in the Sefer Truma. But what obviously doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz? Trumas or Maestros and Shvi'as. Right, Trumas, Maestros, and Shvi'as obviously don't. So where does Ravai fall here? Does Ravai apply in Chutz La'aretz, or does it not apply in Chutz La'aretz? So this is a fundamental machlokes. The Rambam holds the Ikaron Ravai doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. Nothing to talk about. While Tosos and the Gaonim and many other Rishonim hold, no, the Ikaron applies in Chutz La'aretz. Now let's quibble over, does it apply to grapes, or does it apply to apples and oranges? To apples and oranges also, but for sure, Ravai applies in Chutz La'aretz. So what's the yesod of this machlokis? This is what Rav Chaim and the other opponent deal with. Why does the Rambam think Ravai does not apply in Chutz La'aretz, while Tosfos and the Gaonim think that Ravai does apply in Chutz La'aretz? Here is the Yesodistic Machlokes. Ravai in Chutz La'aretz says the Rambam, it doesn't apply. Doesn't apply at all. Says Tosos and the Gaonim, again, I don't know all Gaonim, but at least the Shiltos and the Gaonim that the Rambam quoted, right, that it does apply. What's the basis of this Machlokes? So Rav Chaim points out, really, it depends what girsa you have. I meant to bring the finger around. Okay, we'll see. What girsa you have in the Rambam, in Hilchos Bechoros, but how does Rav Chaim explain? What's the yesod of the Machlokas, anyone? Did Rav Chaim say that?
I think
that might be what Joel said. I can quote you on the Rav Chaim saying that, but I don't think that's what Rav Chaim says. I think Rav Chaim says, first of all, I think Rav Chaim says that there's a Vivir Plutus Rama Gaonim, at least according to the what Frank was proved to be the correct verse in the Rambam, which I'll mention in a moment, is that it's a chakira about Orla's Chutz La'aretz.
Right.
The Mishnah says later on at the end of our perek that Orla applies in Chutz La'aretz, it's halacha.
Right.
And there's two opinions, but how do we paskin? What kind of halacha is it that Orla applies in Chutz La'aretz? Halacha Moshe Sinai. We paskin, Orla in Chutz La'aretz is halacha Moshe Sinai. Now, halacha Moshe Sinai is a tricky to analyze because you don't have a pasuk, you don't have a drasha, you don't have a svar, it's just halacha Moshe Sinai. So then there's room for a question, like, what's the nature of this halacha l'moshmi Sinai? And here says Reb Chaim, he says it's a chakira about the halacha l'moshmi Sinai of Arla in Chutz La'aretz. What's the nature of this chakira? There's a chakira, halacha l'moshmi Sinai of Arla in Chutz La'aretz. And here, I don't know, there's a book someone once wrote, Ion Belundus, very Adlerstein, where he analyzed all different kinds of hakiras. So this is one of his kinds of hakiras, right? When you have something, right, Arla and Eretz Yisrael, then you also have Chutz La'aretz. Are you a Gloy Milsa, you're expanding the boundaries of the original din, or are you adding a new din? Is this a new din or an expansion of the old din? And he says that is the hakira. The hakira is that the Rambam says that there is a new din of Arla b'chutz la'aretz. A new din of Arla b'chutz la'aretz. Arla in Eretz Yisrael is a pasuk. Arla in chutz la'aretz is a new din of Halacha l'moshmi Sinai. The However, the Gaonim say, I don't know if he brings a raya from Lashon Shiltos here. The Gaonim say, I don't think so, but I'll bring it, that no, it's just interpreting the original psukim of Arla to include Chutz Laretz. It's not a new din of Arla's Chutz Laretz. It's just saying that the parsha of Arla, you might think that parsha of Arla means Eretz Yisrael, because it starts with the words Kisavo El Haaretz. Halacha Moshe Misinai teaches you that it really includes Chutz Laretz also. And you'll tell me, I don't remember if this is Rav Chaim made this point or not, you'll tell me if you, those who only saw Rav Chaim and not the other Achronim will tell me if he makes this point. The Shiltos actually says, if Arla applies to Chutz Laretz, Halacha Moshe Misinai, why did the Torah say Kisavo El Haaretz? And the answer is, right, he says, it means it only starts chronologically, historically, when you go to Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, he says, Kisavo El Haaretz is not geographical, it's chronological. What is he saying? He's saying that I'm not adding something besides what's in the Psukim. I'm reinterpreting the Psukim, right? The Rambam wouldn't say that. The Rambam would just say, Kisavo El Haaretz is geographical. It only applies in Israel. Ah, Chutz Laretz is a different din. That has nothing to do with that Parsha, right? And then you would say, how would that affect the Parsha Nut? The Shilto says that Ki Savo El Haaretz is chronological. It means from the time of entering Eretz Yisrael and on, it applies. But it applies everywhere. While the Rambam would say, I don't know what he does say, but the Rambam would say, we would say the Pashup Shah. Ki Savo'u El Haaretz is geographical. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Ah, what about Chutz Laretz? That's a different Parsha. That's Halach Moshe Sinai Parsha, not the Parsha written in the Torah. The Parsha written in the Torah is only for Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, there's a different rule for Chutz Laretz. Okay, but it's not in this Parsha. Hey, the Rambam doesn't say, but Shiltos does. Now, says, before we get to the main point of Rav Chaim, I'll just point out that I put on page 6 some Minchas Chinuch, brings down a few interesting machlokas, which seem, yeah?
I have a question. I'm probably wrong, but I thought that the Tosfos and the Gaonim are misupak in this thing. And that's why the Baskin is something you have on the Kula. About
Chutzlar. No, because the Gemara says later on at the end of our perek that it's not misafik. There's a special halacha Moshe Misinai to follow the Mekel and Chutzlar. That's a special rule. Okay, you can analyze that. We're not going to now. And you could tie this into a few nafkaminas mentioned by the Minchas Chinuch. For example, says the Minchas Chinuch here at Nisrafim. Remember the last mission in Torah says some Yisurihanar are Nisrafim, some Yisurihanar are Nikbarim, right? The Nisrafim have to be davka burned. And then the ashes become mutter b'hanah because you did the mitzvah. The nikbarim are not davka burned. Instead, you bury them, and they never become mutter b'hanah because there's no specific ritual to do. So, Arla is ben hanisrafim. That's what the Gemara learns, that even though it doesn't say, but we learn Arla from Klayim, that it's min hanisrafim, and by Klayim it sort of says, it says beremez, that it's min hanisrafim. So what about Arla's chutzlaretz? So he says, L'chor, of course Arla's Chutzlaretz Nisrafim. But I saw an explicit Pnei Yoshua in the sixth parak of Brachos who says Arla's Chutzlaretz is not Mina Nisrafim. And he brings a Diyuk. But then he says, that's if you hold Arla's Chutzlaretz as Hilchas Medina, which is the Rabbanan. But I think, says Minchas Chinuch, even if it's Halach Moshe Misinai, still, everyone in the Nisrafim needs a Kral de Rabuye, needs a Pasuk to teach you that it's Nisrafim. Nothing is this rough unless there's a pasuk. Ayin sof tmur, betosos, and that's mitzvah. So, in came b'shlom eretz shalom v'or b'tori suro, yeish hekesh le tlai hakerem, I assume that should be having b'sreifa. Aval, b'chutz laretz, the ain of a v'or b'kar, rakalachim z'usina, ayin came, mehechites, ayin came to l'gilu chazal, the halachi b'sreifa, mehechites, dun esreifa, b'dino kol yisrael na di'alma. What does the Minchas Kinyan Kapos Forum say? That Arla and Eretz Yisrael is Besreifa, but in Chutz Laretz it's not Besreifa. Why? Because it's not in the Torah, it's only in the Halacha Moshe Misinai, and it doesn't say Sreifa. That works very well for the Rambam side of the Chakira. Number one, Nafgina number one is Sreifa. So the Minchas Chinuch and the Kapos Tamarim say it is not Nisraf. You don't have to burn it. Why? Because it's not in any parsha that says you have to burn it. It's a new din, and the new din it didn't say burning. However, the Pnei Yoshua says if it would be Drabbana, you wouldn't need to burn it. But according to the Mandar Arloch Lo Shem Sinai, right? Pnei Yoshua. Le Manda Amar Arla Bechutz Laretz Halacha Lo Shem Sinai, which is how we paskin, says, nope. It is Nisraf. It is Tom Sreifa. Right? So this is, according to Tosfos in the Shul, Tosfos would make sense like the Yeshua. If it's Halacha Lo Shem Sinai, the Halacha Lo Shem Sinai is that it's part of Arla. It's part of the Parsha. If it's part of the Parsha, it needs Sreifa. But, according to the Rambam side, no, you say the Minchas Chinuch and Kapos Tamarim. It's not part of the Parsha, it's a new Parsha. The new Parsha doesn't need Sreifa, because it never said it needed Sreifa. The Minchas Chinuch brings down another Nafkamina here. He says, Midei Avri Yisi B'Tzlach, you notice in the Tzlach in Brachos, the Mechutz Laretz Eino Ol Aser Shomer Lepri. The Yor Darshan is from the Esper Yol, the Shomer Lepri. Shomer Lepri means what it sounds like. The Shomer, the peel that preserves the Pri, that keeps it, protects it and keeps it fresh. So we paskin that not only is the pre aser b'hanah, the peel is also aser b'hanah. That's called shomer the pre. There are many halachas that don't apply to the shomer, and many halachas that do apply to the shomer. Right? Each set of halachas is different. So in Arla, the shomer the pre is just as aser as the pre itself. That's why Maseches Arla talks about people in the old days, they would dye, D-Y-E, with fruit peels. If they dyed the fruit peels of Arla, you couldn't wear the clothing, because the fruit peels are also aser b'hanah, they're the shomer the pre. So what about the Shomer Lepri for Arla's Chutz Laretz? So the Tzlach says, the Chutz Laretz ain't no usher Shomer Lepri. Deberitz Yisrael Nisraba Shomer be es, which means Hatofel. Abo Chutz Laretz ala holo usher rekapri abo lo Shomer, ayin sham. This Tzlach, Minchas Chinuch sounds like he likes the Tzlach, which is worth l'shitaseg. He would say, what about the Shomer Lepri? So, says the Tzlach, that the Shomer is mutter in Chutz Laretz. That makes a lot of sense. It's a new parsha, and the new parsha all we know is the fruit is usher. We don't know anything else. We don't know that it's Nisraf. We don't know that the peel is usher. All we know is bare bones fruit is usher. We don't know anything else because it's a new parsha, and in this new parsha, it doesn't tell us any of these chumras. However, I don't know who explicitly represents the Tzlach, but probably Pashup Shat. You know, according to the other Derech, he would say, "What are you talking about? It's not a new din. It's Halacha Lo Shem Sinai. That Arla is Arla. That it doesn't matter what country you're in." And therefore, it doesn't have, since it says S in Eretz Yisrael, that can, Arla is one cloud. And therefore, you would say that the Shomer is Mutter in Chutz La'aretz. Oh, sorry, I meant Aser. Just like in Eretz Yisrael. We'd have to look around the, when Encyclopedia Talmudis gets up to Arla, I'm sure they will quote Achronim, where we can find Achronim or Argon the Tzlach. Maybe the footnotes of the Michas Chinuch I should check if he quotes anyone. Anyway, that would be another nafgamina, right? Do you take all the dinim and apply them? Why not? It's all Arla's Arla. Do you say no? There's Arla, and there's Arla Sugbet. And Arla Sugbet doesn't have these dinim. Says Reb Chaim, this is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Gaonim in two ways. He says Reb Chaim, this is what underlies our original machlokas, which is Revai. Does Revai apply in Chutz Laretz? If Arla's Chutz Laretz is a new din, the new din was Arla. There's no new din of Revai. So you would say that there's no Revai in Chutz Laretz. What do you mean? There's a new din of Arla. Who said Revai? We don't even know the peel has Arla. You're going to tell me you know another year of Revai? Mm-hmm. No, it's bare bones or Arla, nothing else. But if you say no, it's expanding the original Parsha. Kisavo al-Aretz means wherever you are. It doesn't mean you're in Israel. It means wherever you are after Knesset Haaretz, after the days of Yeshua ben Nun, wherever you are, the Parsha of Arla applies. If this Parsha applies, you know what it says in the Parsha? Baral Temar L'Sos Per Yosh Shalosh Shanim Yelachem Arilim Lo Yachel Vashet Harvias Yekov Per Yosh Go to Shilu L'Mashem. It's all part of the Parsha. So then, there is Revai in Chutz Laretz. He wanted to say that this is the Yisod of the Machlokes. What's the Yisod of the Machlokes? This Chakira, whether Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael are the same for Arla, then give the whole Parsha. Or no, Arla's Chutz Laretz is a new din with a bare bones Isser without anything else. Therefore, it doesn't have Revai. And then he wants to say that this is a Lishitase, at least of the Rambam side, that the he doesn't have Gaonim. But the Rambam says, he says, nafkamina, right? We can always get in another row by using a different color. You could just, in your notes, put it on the bottom, is malchus.
Right.
Does Arlas Chutzlaritz have malchus?
Right.
According to the Rambam, it's a new halachal Moshe Mishina. It's not one of the 613 lavim in the Torah. The 613 lavim in the Torah are only things that are written in the Torah. This is a halachal Moshe Mishina not written in the Torah. Do we have to follow it? Of course we have to follow it. It's halachal Moshe Mishina. But you don't get malchus if it's not written in the Torah, right? Wait, what did we just lean? Right? Then when do you get malchus? What's written in the book, you get malchus.
What?
Orla? He says, Eino loke al achilas arlas chutzlaritz. That is the Rambam. He says the Rambam's l'shitase. Arlas chutzlaritz, the new din. The new din doesn't have malchus. It's not written in the Sefer Torah. It's binding on us, but it doesn't have malchus. We don't know for sure, we should put names here, right? This would be the Rambam, and this would be the Tosfos and Gaonim. Fine. We don't have a name here,
it's up top.
Yeah, but, I mean for this, but, I just want to contrast, he suggests that maybe you would be loke. He doesn't know who says that, meaning most of the poskim are not discussing whether or not you're loke, because of Zman Hazeh, we don't have a Bezdin, we don't have Smicha, we don't give you Malchus anyway, but theoretically, when Mashiach comes, would you get Malchus for, and Sanhedrin's knowing, but Oritz and Chutzlaritz, would you get Malchus for Arlos Chutzlaritz? So maybe according to Tosfos Gaonim, you would get Malchus for Arlos Chutzlaritz. Because it's just part of the same parsha of, it's the Lav. The Lav is Lo Yeochil. That Lav is talking about Chutzlaritz also. This is Reb Chaim's Mahalach. To explain, the Machlok is between the Rambam versus Tosfos and the Gaonim. This is the first way to explain the Machlok is between the Rambam and Tosfos and the Gaonim. Reb Chaim's Mahalach. Rav Chaim does point out that this depends on the girsa of the Rambam. There's two girsos in the Rambam. Again, I meant to bring the Frankel, but I forgot. If you look in the Frankel, you'll see one is, it's hard to say right. He says, our girsa and the Torah's girsa. You know, one girsa is clearly more supported by the manuscript evidence than the other. One girsa seems to be the right girsa. The Torah's girsa seems to be the wrong girsa. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says Revine doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz, just like Meiser Sheni doesn't apply in Surya. He finds in Yerushalmi that Meiser Sheni doesn't apply in Surya. Okay, there are Rishonim who interpret that Yerushalmi in more creative ways. Certainly the Pasha of Shani Yerushalmi is that Meiser Sheni doesn't apply in Surya. So just like Meiser Sheni doesn't apply in Surya, Revine doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. Right? I mean, Surya doesn't apply. For sure, the rest of Chutz La'aretz shouldn't apply. You know that itself, Yishladun. Well, how do we know Meiser Sheni? And the Rambam also ties in Meiser Sheni not applying in Chutz La'aretz to us not bringing Bechoros from Chutz La'aretz. We don't bring Bechor from Chutz La'aretz. Right? And the Rambam seems to have this principle. Whatever you have to bring to an Havas Makom, whatever you have to bring to Meis HaMikdash, you bring from Eretz Yisrael, you don't bring from Chutz La'aretz. Now, there's two Gersos in the Rambam in Helchos Bechoros. What that really means. And then there are two ways to trace the chain. Right? Let me just illustrate. Says the Rambam, before we even get to Meiser Sheni, before we even get to, I apologize, too. Here we go. No problem. Yes, okay. The printers had a big Kavodah Torah here. After page 106, come to page 121. But luckily, which means I go from the third paragraph of Meiser Sheni and Netter Revai to the second paragraph of Hilchos Rotzeach. But luckily, after page 10 of like Sefer Kenyan, we go back to 107 and I continue with Meiser Sheni. So Rav Lichtenstein, he didn't like to criticize people, but one thing he always criticized, he felt a strong Kavodah Torah. Okay, I also feel somewhat of a Kavod HaTorah, and sometimes, like, I criticize people who say stupid svaras, etc. Or let's say he never did that. He was, like, very nice. But the one thing he did criticize of Kavod HaTorah was people who print svarim, the Rambam, and other Sifrei Kodesh of Divrei Torah, and don't even bother to make sure that it has all the pages or that all the pages are where they're supposed to be. And he says, you know, if whatever, you know, Penguin Books or HarperCollins was printing a new trashy novel, they would never be missing any pages or have the pages in the wrong order. So if you're printing the Rambam, which I don't even know how to compare because it's not even comparable. So he always got very upset, and since he taught at this desk and had this Rambam, every once in a while we got to hear about it. So he's right. But says the Rambam that Neter Avai is Kodesh Bring Shushlayim, just like there's no Meister Sheni in Surya, there's no Neter Avai in Surya. Okay, Surya Chutzlar, so why is there no Neter Avai in Chutzlar? It ties it into not being Meister Sheni in Chutzlar. The Seder, earlier in Hilchos Meister Sheni, meaning before Hilchos Rotzeach and Hilchos Mechira, the Rambam mentioned that Meister Sheni, since it needs Havas Mako, you don't bring it from Chutz Laretz, just like you don't bring Bechor from Chutz Laretz. And therefore, they didn't require it in Surya. Okay, trace the chain. Neter Avai learned from Meister Sheni, Meister Sheni learned from Bechor. Now, if we go to Hilchos Bechoros, which, let's see if it's actually where it belongs. Excellent. It's actually in Hilchos Karbanos, between Karban, Chagiga, and Shkogos, where it belongs. In Hilchos Bechoros, says the Rambam, and here Chaim mentions two Gersos. And it's harder to follow his two Gersos. If you look in the Frankel, it becomes much clearer. You see the two Gersos. And even in the days of the Raivan, they already had two Gersos. Meaning, it's not like, oh, in the days of the Achronim, they messed up. Even the Raivan had a different Gerson than other Rishonim, and he was at the same time as the Raivan. It says, Mitzvahs Bechor Behemas Noheges Ba'aretz. One Gersa is, Bechor is only Noheg Ba'aretz, and you don't bring Bechor's Bechutz La'aretz. Okay, then it gets a little messy later on. But one Gersa says, Bechor only applies in Ba'aretz, it doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. According to that Gersa, there's some din, d'oraisa principle, that whatever you need to bring to Yerushalayim doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. And if we're then asked, why does the Rambam think Revai doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz? Not because of any lumdish chakira about, well, it's nothing to do with chakira about Arles Chutz La'aretz. It has to do with a din that has to do with Bechor and Meister Sheni. It's a special rule that we have a drasha that whatever has Havas Makom, whatever you're supposed to bring to Yerushalayim, doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, then, if you take the other way, what he calls the Gersa of the Tor, right, which is the not the Gersa that, I mean, depends which Rama, but he says, he quotes here the Tor, right? Someplace here. He quoted the Tor, right? Okay. I remember him quoting the Tor. I'm going to rely on that. The Vihine Barambam, Visota versus etc.
Yeah,
he quoted the Torah. Great. According to the Gersa Torah, which also seems to be the Gersa of the Ravid, so here's one Gersa. This is Gersas HaTor, says that there is that Bechor doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. You learn from there that Maser Sheni doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. You learn from there that Revai doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. And it's a new principle. It has nothing to do with any other Chakiras. Says Reb Chaim, that's according to one Gersa. However, Frankel Rambam points out that is not the correct Gersa. The correct Gersa in the Rambam is Bechor applies Ba'aretz uve Chutz La'aretz. And you can't eat Bechor in Chutz La'aretz until it gets a mum. But you're not chayiv to bring it to Israel. You can wait till it gets a mum and eat it. Meaning that Kedushas Bechor is chal. You just don't bring it. You wait till it gets a mum. So, the correct Gersa, and it's just, does the Rambam start by saying Bechor applies in Eretz Yisrael and not Chutz La'aretz? Or the Bechor applies in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, you just don't bring it. Is that Bechor is Kadosh in Chutz La'aretz, but you don't bring it. If you don't bring it, what do? You wait till it gets a mum. Wait until it gets a mum. Wait until it gets a mum. If we then go, now, Meister Shaney, according to this, what should we logically have said? Meister Shaney does apply in Chutz Laretz, but you don't bring it, rather, you're pulled it, like we do nowadays, you're pulled it onto a coin, and then eventually you throw the coin into Yam HaMelech. Why does the Rambam not say that? So if you look at the Rambam's Lashon, in Chutz Meister Shaney, he said, Lefikach, you don't bring it. Lefikach lo chayvuhu chachamim lahafresh. What's he saying? He's saying that, I'll read you the Lashon if you don't believe me. Meister Shaney, hol v'ton avos moko ein mevir oso michol kebchor behema. You don't bring it like bechor. Lefikach lo chayvuhu lahafresh v'ashem is Syria. Therefore they, meaning rabbis, weren't mechayiv you in Syria. If you're medayik in the Lashon of the Rambam, what does he say? He says, Meister Shaney, you wouldn't bring from Chutz Laretz, or here he's talking about Syria. So you wouldn't bring from Syria. And therefore, since you wouldn't bring it, they didn't bother to be gozer midrabanan, because what's the point of being gozer midrabanan if you're not going to bring it anyway? Right? You weren't good, wouldn't bring it from Syria. So they weren't gozer Dushas Meister Shaney Midrabanan, because it's not worth it, right? And Midoraisa, your potter, for a different reason, right? And your potter Midoraisa, because Maestros don't apply Min HaTorah in Chutz Laretz. Right? Meaning it's a different way of reading the Rambam. What we learned before is you wouldn't bring it. If you wouldn't bring it, the rabbis don't bother to be gozer to be mafet by Shaney after bring. That's why the rabbis didn't bother to be gozer. But why isn't Chayim Doraisa? Because Midoraisa doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. If you then take it to Revai, then what's the comparison?
Bechor is explicitly in Chutz Laretz.
Explicitly, yes. Truth is, even in this Gersa, there's one line that sounds like it applies in Chutz Laretz, which makes it hard to read the Rambam. But that's the difference. This gear says Bechor Noeg Eretz Yisrael, and this gear says Bechor Noeg Eretz Yisrael Chutz Laretz, but you don't bring it. And therefore, what's the Revai? Is that they weren't Gozer Revai Midrabanan in Chutz Laretz, and it is Potter Midoraisa, because Revai just doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. So according to this Gersa, the whole Rambam's chain of comparison by Shem Bechor doesn't explain why the Chazal weren't gozer at Chomer to Rabbanan. But Me'ikr din, why is it Potter? Just because it's Potter. Which, this, not only is this a better Gersa than the Rambam, it explains all the lines of the Rambam without any lines being difficult, and it works better in the Gemara. Maybe it's really a better Gersa. According to this, the question is just, but why fundamentally does Revai not apply in Chutz Laretz? And the answer is, because of that whole Chakira. So says Rav Chaim, my whole Chakira Lomdus is right if it fundamentally doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. And all these other Rambams are just why Rabbanim word goes there. Then why does it fundamentally not apply? Because of my Chakira. But according to the Tor's Gersa, the Raivin's Gersa, the quote-unquote wrong Gersa, I mean, seems to be the wrong Gersa, I mean, to the best that human Hishtadlos can figure out. According to the wrong Gersa, then you have a different shot of the Rambam. According to the Gersas HaTor, the wrong Gersa in the Rambam, then what's the Yisod of the Machlokas? The Yisod of the Machlokas is that we learn a Ptor from Bechor, and the Tosafot going to hold that we don't learn a Ptor from Bechor. Meaning, it's not some fundamental lomdus about Orla. It's just whether we have this din we learn from Bechor or not, according to the wrong Gersa. But, Rav Chaim says, according to the right Gersa, this is only discussing whether our bottom word goes there. Why it's fundamentally why the Ikra din is Potter, the Rambam is not discussing here. That's obvious. Why is it obvious? Because of this lomdus. I just want to point out, I just want to point out, there is, I think, and this is, okay, Rabbi Miller gave his Shira Torah Zerah, you could look at it if you want, base Medrash, Trumas Bar Gimel Mishnah Tess, or there are Zerahs floating around, who takes this approach, made with a little different twist. But I thought that, not that I have anything, I have no problems with Rav Chaim, but maybe there's another way to analyze this. Rav Chaim made it all about the relationship between Orlis Yisrael and Orlis Chutz Laretz. You could maybe say, which the Torah Zerah says more or less, that maybe there's another way of understanding this Hakira. And this would be Tosos Lashitasam in a throwaway Shaklavataria line on Daf Lamed Chesem and Aleph in Kiddushin. See, your Daf Lamed Chesem and Aleph says, well, Kalayim has three Chumras, and Arla has two Chumras. One of them is that they're both Aser Ba'anoah. And they're both Aser Ba'anoah, they're both Aser forever, but Klai Karen, there's no Matter for it, and Arla has a Matter. So now, everyone's trying, or at least that's the way Tosfos reads it, everyone's trying to figure out, what is this way in which Klai Karen doesn't have a Matter? Klai Karen doesn't have a Matter. What's the Matter of Arla? So there are many pshats from this Gemara. The fact that someone has one pshat doesn't prove they had a conceptual problem with the other pshat. They're trying to figure out the simplest pshat. But the Rebbe Utam is an interesting pshat. What's Rebbe Utam's pshat? What is the Matter of Orla?
Revive.
That in the fourth year you could be podit. It's an interesting formulation, this Rebbe Utam. I might have said, that's not a Matter of Orla. That's a Matter of Revive. Revive is separate from Orla. After all, if I'm not podit, I don't treat it like Orla. It's not also around the ivory, so I can eat it. Right? So, but Rabbi Natan says, the Orla zuva shana revias karmadish hetel yisrael al yipidyon. Orla is mutter al yipidyon shana revias. What is he saying? He's saying that revai is a type of Orla. Just regular Orla doesn't have a matter, but revai is more cow type of Orla that has a matter. It's mutter through pidyon. It's also mutter through eating in Yerushalayim. Right? Revai is a weaker type of Orla. Now that's a big fish, because I would have said it's not a weaker type of Orla. That's a Kedusha and a Vodas Hashem to go to Beis HaMikdash, and this is an Isser. Orla is something bad, or Vai is something good. But the Tosfos seems to have this very fascinating idea, this formulation. Revai is a Matter of Orla. It's a weak, it's Orla with Kulas. Now, you might not have said that. You might have said, no, Revai and Orla are two totally different mitzvos. After all, philosophically, I don't mean philosophically fancy philosophy. I mean philosophically just common sense. Arla is like a bad thing. You can't use it at all. Revai is a good thing. You're supposed to go and be mahalo, mishabeach, and Hashem, and the Beis HaMikdash with it. Okay, it's not mochrech, but that's certainly what you might have thought. So I want to say maybe you could say tosos lushitasam. Maybe it's really a chakira, not about the relationship between Arla, Sairat, Shol, or Chutzlar, the relationship between Arla and Revai. Maybe here it's a chakira about the relationship between Arla, and between Arla and Revai. Tosfos thinks that Revai is a more lenient form of Arla. Revai is a more lenient form of Arla. It's it's Arla with that went down a few madrigas, right? It's Arla that's wearing off. The Isser of Arla is wearing off. Right, in the fifth year it'll wear off lagamre, in the fourth year it wore off halfway. While the Rama might say no, Revai, it might be in the same parsha. I know it's in the same parsha, and I know that basically the things that Orla applies to, Revai applies to, the things that Orla doesn't apply to, Revai doesn't apply to. But that just means that they start out in the same circumstances. But once they're chal, Revai is a...
independent.
Exactly. Is an independent mitzvah. Maybe that's their machlokes, and if so, then Tosos would be l'shitasam. If Revai is part of Arla, then if Arla applies in Chutz Laretz, Revai applies in Chutz Laretz, right? So therefore, halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that Arla applies in Chutz Laretz, including Revai.
Midaraisa.
Yeah, mihalachim which we see it, right? Midoraisa. Well, the Rambam would say no. Halacha l'moshe misinai our law applies in chutz la'aretz. But there's no makor for Revai. I'm thinking maybe they both think the halacha moshe misinai is that our law applies to gamri and chutz la'aretz.
This would fit in within each side of the chakir about how to understand the halacha moshe misinai?
Perhaps maybe better if the halacha moshe misinai is that it's mamish the same. But what's mamish the orla? Or everything? Well, I'll leave that as an open question. Lemaisa, you could... It's not so clear, like, what the other hafkaminas of this hakira might be. It might be some very complicated discussions in the Yerushalmi about, you know, what if you have a... do you need... Orla to actually apply befolo, not just theoretically, in order for something to be Revai, or could something be Revai even if Orla didn't actually apply befolo, although that's a very complicated sugya. Might have to do with some of the questions of do you look at Revai more as a Kedusha or more as an Isser, which might have some nafkamina. So it's a tricky. If you want to look in the Torah's rhyme, he takes this direction, not necessarily my words, but this direction. And I think it just works well with Tosfos Lashitasam that this would be Tosfos. And this would be Tosfos, and it would work very nicely with Shitasim. The Tosfos is a weird idea. The Revai is a heter of Arla. Okay, that's another way to analyze it. Not that I have anything against Rukhaya's way.
How can you talk about a negotiational material, about something that stays Asur? In other words, a negotiational material is something that's Asur, and then if you wait long enough, it'll become what it will not become.
It wasn't negotiational material. It was Yesh Heter Li Isuru, different getter.
Right. What were the other pshatim in Gemara?
What
were the other pshatim in Masai in your town?
One pshat is that if you wait 3 years, it becomes mutter. One pshat is that if you wait 3 years, it becomes mutter. One pshat is that if Bez Din decides to make a Kiddush HaChodesh, they can make it mutter a day earlier. You know, there are many ways to... there are other pshatim also. I think those are just the ones mentioned in Tosfos, and then he's another one that.
But if you wait 3 years, it doesn't become mutter unless you do Revai.
No. He means. If you think about it, it's the opposite. After 3 years, it becomes mutter. It's not Arla anymore. Meaning Rashi says, after 3 years, it's mutter. It's not Arla anymore. It's Revai, but it's not Arla. Arla. The difference is Rashi says the heter is the 4th year is the heter. There's no more Arla. Tos says the pidyon in the 4th year is the mater. That's the chiddush of Tosos. The pidyon in the 4th year is a mater. The pidyon in the 4th year is mater Arla. That's not true. The pidyon in the 4th year is mater Revai. How can you say the pidyon in the 4th year is mater Arla? Because Revai is part of Arla. That's what I'm trying to say.
How could you say the 4th year is mater Arla unless you talk about Revai? You can't eat it.
No, out early, you can't eat it. Revai is a separatist. That works well for the Rambam. Okay, we have to finish up this Tosfos, but that will have to wait for next time. So next time, we will learn Hashem. We will quickly, I think, without getting into all the lamdas, we will quickly finish up, just summarizing the discussion of this Tosfos and reading the end of the Gemara, and really start sinking our teeth into the next Gemara, which is the getting back to our main inyan of Kiddushin, and the whole question of, we'll start with Halipin for Kiddushin. We'll start seeing our achievements of that in Meir Tishan next time.
So you're going to go into the Hanukkah or not? What do you plan?